السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سورة يوسف.
وما ابرئ نفسي ان النفس لأمارة بالسوء الا ما رحم ربي ان ربي غفور رحيم. وقال الملك ائتوني به استخلصه لنفسي، فلما كلمه قال إنك اليوم لدينا مكين أمين. قال اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم. وكذلك مكنا يوسف في الأرض يتبوأ منها حيث يشاء، نصيب برحمتنا من نشاء ولا نضيع أجر المحسنين. ولأجر الآخرة خير للذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون.
وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. He said, and I do not acquit myself. I do not declare myself to be perfectly innocent. No, after all, I am also a human being and I have a soul inside. And indeed, the soul is a persistent enjoiner of evil. Meaning the soul continuously, always, it doesn't stop telling people to sin. And this is the struggle that each and every human being lives with. Yusuf alayhi salam, if he's saying, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ, then what is the reality of all of us then? Our soul, would it not tell us to do wrong, to do evil? Of course it does. This is why we see that it is so important that we recognize the evil promptings of our own nafs and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our nafs. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi, from the evil of my soul. Because many times we know what the right thing is, what the wrong thing is. But what happens? The nafs makes wrong attractive and easy. And the nafs make good difficult. Like for example, these days, we know what the reward is of praying qiyam, of praying in the night. But what happens? Despite knowing, do we become lazy? We think, oh, perhaps I should not go today. I went the first day, let me skip today, and I'll go the next day. And if we're not able to go at all, then what does the nafs say to us? You're so tired, you've been fasting all day, you deserve to sleep. You deserve to take some rest. But what do we learn? If a person manages to recite even 10 ayat in the night in Qiyamul Layl, then he will get the reward of a qintar. Qintar, a heaped up treasure. And qintar of reward is better than the dunya, the world, and whatever is in it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. So, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ. Why is it that we know all of these virtues? If we're tested on all of these virtues, we would pass the test very easily. But when it comes to action, we fall. Why? Because the nafs tells us to disobey Allah. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, except those upon which my Lord has mercy. Meaning none is safe from the evil of the soul except the one whom Allah protects. Except the one whom Allah protects. It is very, very easy to slip. And it is very, very easy to keep slipping and slipping and slipping. Because remember, one sin does not remain one sin. It leads to another sin. If a person misses one prayer, then it doesn't mean that he will miss only one. That will mean that more will be missed. If a person leaves a good opportunity,
an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, it's not going to stop there. It's definitely going to take a person to the next sin, leaving another good deed, another good deed, another good deed. I mean, think about it. Good deeds are all connected, right? Aren't they connected? Like for example, if you make sure that you recite Qur'an in Fajr prayer, because إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. And if you do recite Qur'an in Fajr prayer, then what will happen by the time you end your prayer? You're fully awake. Can you then sit and do some adhkar and tasbihat? Can you? Yes. Then inshallah you can be of those people who are remembering Allah, glorifying Allah at the time when the sun rises. And those who do not remember Allah at the time when the day comes in, then who are they? I mentioned to you earlier a hadith. Those are the worst creation of Allah. Because there is nothing from the creation of Allah except that it glorifies Allah when the day is coming in. Except for who? The worst of Allah's creation. So you see, each good deed leads to another. And each sin leads to another. One slip will take to another. So over here, Yusuf alayhi salam says that only he is protected. Whom? The one whom Allah shows mercy to. Only he is safe from the evil of the soul, whom Allah protects. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of believers in Islam is the one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. Have you heard of this hadith? Yeah? Okay, but the hadith continues, and the best jihad is of the one who strives against himself for the sake of Allah. Against himself. Because it's very easy to fight against others. The most difficult battle is the battle against oneself. That when you have to convince yourself to do what is right, when you have to convince yourself to observe patience, when you have to convince yourself to hold on and not give up, you have to convince yourself to stop your hand from that which is wrong. This is the most difficult battle. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that the best jihad is of the one who strives against himself for the sake of Allah. And the best of the immigrants, the best of the muhajirun, is the one who strives against his nafs and desire for the sake of Allah. Because that is also a kind of hijrah. Because being with the nafs and desire, agreeing with it, that's a different lifestyle. But then fighting against it, battling it, it's like moving away from your comforts. That is a form of hijrah. Moving away from what you're so used to, from what you find pleasing, from what you find enjoyable. Moving away from that, that is a form of hijrah. And the best hijrah is of the one who struggles against his nafs and his desire for the sake of Allah. And this is an authentic hadith reported in Silsilatul Ahadithu Sahihah. The Prophet ﷺ also said, the strong one is not the one who wins in a fight. That when there is a fight, he wins over there. No, the strong one is he who wins against himself. غَلَبَ نَفْسَهُ. The one who overpowers himself. And this really requires strength. Because what happens at the time when you have to wake up for sahur? Don't you have to overpower yourself? Yes, you have to really fight against yourself. Your eyes don't want to open, but you have to fight to open them. You don't want to leave the comfort of your bed, but you have to fight in order to get out of bed. The strong one is the one who غَلَبَ نَفْسَهُ. Sahih Ibn Hibban. So Yusuf a.s. said, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, my Lord is forgiving and merciful. You see, that woman over here is confessing her sin, her mistake. So Yusuf a.s., look at his words. They're giving so much hope that yes, a mistake was made, and yes, no one is perfect. Each person has their own challenges. You have your challenges, I have my own struggles. But what we can take comfort in is the fact that my Lord is forgiving and merciful. What do we see over here? The sincerity of Yusuf alayhi salam. And we see this in all of the prophets of Allah. How they wished well for everybody. Even those who hurt them. Those who opposed them. Those who fought against them. Those who put them in prison. Yusuf alayhi salam is as though giving the option to that woman that you should seek forgiveness from Allah for whatever has happened. And this is amazing. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when his opponents came to him accepting Islam, what did he do? He accepted their Islam. He encouraged them that yes, their forgiveness will be accepted. Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu, He was the one who went to Abyssinia to speak to the Najashi to get the Muslims back to Makkah. Imagine, he was a politician. He went to Makkah to get the Muslims back. He waged war against the Muslims. And what happened? Eventually when he came to accept Islam, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, I want to give the bay'ah to you. And the Prophet ﷺ, he extended his hand out and Amr bin al-As, he pulled his hand away. He pulled his hand away. The Prophet ﷺ said, what happened? He said, what about my sins that I've committed before? Will I be forgiven for them? If I'm forgiven, then I'm accepting Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who accepts Islam, his sins are converted into good deeds. Can you imagine? I mean, these are people who didn't just hurt the cause of Islam. These were people who personally hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Personally hurt him. With respect to his mission, with respect to his family, with respect to his own life, they personally hurt him. But look at the open-heartedness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That if a person comes seeking forgiveness, accepting Islam, then accept it. إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. We try to reserve Allah's forgiveness for ourselves only. We try to restrain Allah's mercy for ourselves only. But Allah is forgiving and merciful to all those who come to Him, seeking His forgiveness and wanting His mercy. And the king said, bring him to me. It's as though the king is now getting impatient. Bring him to me already. Now his innocence is declared. أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. I will appoint him exclusively for myself. The king is saying, now Yusuf is going to be for me. He is going to work for me. And when he spoke to him, he said, indeed, you are today established in position and trusted. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. It's amazing. The more the king gets to know Yusuf a.s., the more he is impressed by him. Why? Because the more he gets to know Yusuf a.s., the more he recognizes his qualities. He appreciates him even more and more. So he says that you are now, from this day onwards, you have an established position near us and you are going to be trusted. It's as though the king is saying that you've told us the interpretation and you've also advised us as to what we should do. Now what do you want? What do you think you can do? Yusuf a.s. says, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. When Yusuf a.s. saw that the king trusted him fully, and he also realized the crisis that the country was going to face in the near future, Yusuf a.s. offered his services. He said, appoint me over the storehouses of the land. Indeed, I will be a knowing guardian. إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. Meaning, I know how to work in this situation, in this time, and I will also do it properly. You won't have any regrets if you appoint me to manage this crisis that is going to come up in the near future. So what happened? The king agreed. And Yusuf a.s., now he is free. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. And thus we established Yusuf in the land to settle therein wherever he willed. This was the same man, the Prophet of Allah, who was once imprisoned. Before that, he was living as a slave. Then, in the prison. And now, so much freedom that he could settle in the land wherever he wanted. نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We touch with our mercy whom we will. وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And we do not allow to be lost the reward of those who do good. There is reward for such people even in this world, even in this life. And what do we see here? That yes, there is a certain time until which there is hardship. And the hardship only seems to be growing and intensifying. The difficulties only increase. And then what happens? Throughout this time, Allah is testing His servant. How patient is my servant? How grateful is my servant? And how much ihsan does he do? And if a slave passes this test, then what happens? Allah opens the doors of His mercy for him. Look at how Yusuf a.s., now he is free. And he's not just free as an ordinary man. No, he's got a very high position with the king. He is appointed as, you can say, the finance minister. Where? Over Egypt. And this crisis that was going to come up, this drought, this shortage of food supplies, all of this Yusuf a.s. was appointed to manage it. Such a huge responsibility, but with that such a huge honor also. Such a huge position in that society also. But it didn't come in one day. It came after a lot of hardship, a lot of training. وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ. And the reward of the hereafter is better. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For those who believe. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they fear Allah. The reward in the hereafter is far greater. This is how Allah's plan works out. That apparently what is happening with us seems very difficult and painful. But in reality, through that, Allah will bring much goodness if we are patient. So may Allah enable us to really see the truth, the reality as it is. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan. Because many times it happens that something good is happening in our lives, but we view it as something that's very harmful. And we become impatient. Our akhlaq with the people around us gets really bad. Why? Because we don't see reality as it is. We are very short-sighted. We're very short-sighted. And as a result, we become impatient. So only when a person can see things in the big picture. And how is it that you can see things in the big picture? Knowing that Allah is your Lord. You are not your Lord. Allah is your Lord. He manages your affairs. He is the one who decrees everything in your life, not you. You only try. You only work. You only struggle. And who is it that's planning? Allah is planning. So leave your affairs to Him and trust Him. And what does it mean by trusting Him? Not that a person sits and does nothing. No, that in whatever position a person is put in, he makes the most of his situation. We see that as a slave, Yusuf a.s. is not seen as a bad-natured boy or as a disobedient boy, rebellious. No, we see that he must have had good akhlaq, good manners, obedience he must have showed. This is why his master loved him so much. Likewise in the prison, we don't see him depressed, frustrated, angry, fighting. No, we see him helping other people. Because the one who wants to help other people, he can help them where? Even in the prison. The one who wants to be productive, he will be productive even in Ramadan. Even with an empty stomach. Even with a few hours of sleep. Who? The one who really wants to be productive. And who is he? The one who is patient, the one who is grateful. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفُ. Now another turn of events. What happens? The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam came. Why? Seeking food. Why? Because there was food in Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salam had planned it all. He had preserved the food. So, elsewhere in the region, people were suffering from a shortage of food supplies. There was severe drought. And so, people traveled far and wide in search of food. And this news must have spread that there is food in Egypt. And there is a finance minister or whoever, the leader over there, he's very generous. So what happened? The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam also came seeking food and they entered upon him. And he recognized them, but he was to them unknown. He recognized his brothers immediately and they had no idea that the man whom they were dealing with was indeed their brother Yusuf whom they had thrown in the well. And when he had furnished them with their supplies, he said, "Bring me a brother of yours from your father." And who is this? The full brother of Yusuf alayhi salam, Binyamin. He said, "Do you not see that I give full measure and that I am the best of accommodators?" He's not showing off over here or praising himself. Rather, he's trying to build trust here. Because you see, for another person to trust you, they must know what you're capable of, what your qualities are, what you're good at. Like for example, when you're applying for a job somewhere, you have to tell them what you've done, what you're capable of. Otherwise, why would they hire you? How can they? So likewise, Yusuf a.s., when he's telling them over here that I give you full measure, I am the best of accommodators, he's trying to build trust because he wants to make sure that his brothers return. And then he says, "And if you do not bring him to me, no measure will there be hereafter for you from me." Meaning then, you're not getting any more food supplies after today. "Nor will you approach me." Meaning don't even bother coming here because you're not going to get any food. So if you want food in the future, make sure you bring your brother with you. Because Yusuf a.s. was only giving food per head, per family. So these brothers, when they came, they must have bought food for Binyamin also. But Binyamin was not with them. So Yusuf a.s. said that, "Look, if you want food for your brother next time and also for yourself, then you better bring him next time. Because otherwise, how can I trust you? You could be saying that you have a lot of family back home, but how do I know?" You understand? So this is why Yusuf a.s., he took advantage of this and he wanted to make sure that his brother would come. They said, we will attempt to dissuade his father from keeping him. Notice how they don't have much respect for their father. Their father was not just a prophet, now he was also an old man. But look at how they say, we will attempt to dissuade his father from keeping him. As if he was not their brother. As if their father was not their father. And indeed, we will do it. وَقَالَ لِفِتِيَانِهِ And Yusuf said to his servants, put their merchandise into their saddlebags so they might recognize it when they have gone back to their people. And perhaps they will again return. Now what does Yusuf a.s. do? He says, put the money that they gave us back in their bags. He returns the money to them. And this is as a gift to them, as a surprise. So that when they go home and they open up their bags and they see, oh, their money has been returned, it is more of an incentive for them to come. What does it show? That Yusuf a.s. really, really wanted them to return. Why? Because they hadn't recognized him. And he was not hasty in revealing his identity to them either. Why? Because if he did that, they would feel shy and embarrassed, and perhaps they would never come back again. And they would never tell their father. This is sabr. Yusuf a.s. was waiting for the right time in order to reveal his identity to his brothers. This is sabr. What happens with us? We get so excited that we become very hasty. We want to do things very quickly. We find out some good news and instantly we share with the whole world. We're eating some dessert and instantly we put it on Facebook, on Twitter, so the whole world will know. We can't even wait. We're so hasty. So Yusuf a.s., you can see the hilm in him, that how patient, how tolerant he is, and how forbearing he is, that he's taking time. Why? Because he's waiting for the right moment. فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ So when they returned to their father, they said, O our father, further measure has been denied to us. So send with us our brother. You see, now they say our brother. Before they said his son. Now they say our brother. Because the people whose hearts are insincere, then their language also changes depending on who they are in front of. Their language also changes. In front of one person, they appear to be very respectful. But when they're amongst themselves, they're very disrespectful. This is what? This is a form of nifaq. That a person is not the same. He changes wherever he is. Why is it that our language changes sometimes, depending on who we are in front of? Our tone changes. Our words, they change. Our body language, that also changes. If we truly have love for other people and well-wishing for them, then we don't need to speak one way in front of them and another way behind them. We don't need to do that. And a believer is one whose heart is clean for other people. So we see over here this change in their behavior. And they said, O our father, send our brother with us so that we will be given measure. And indeed, we will be his guardians. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ We will guard him. They said this about Yusuf a.s. also. Their father says, should I entrust you with him except under coercion as I entrusted you with his brother before? You forced me, you bullied me into sending Yusuf with you once before. And what did you do with Yusuf? You said that you were going to protect him. Could you protect him? No, you couldn't. And now, you're forcing me to send Binyamin also. And when I send you, while trusting you, because you say to me that you will protect him, how can you protect him? فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا Allah is the best guardian. Don't say that you will protect him. Don't give me all of these assurances. The fact is that Allah is the one who protects. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ And He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Can you imagine these words are coming from who? From the man, from the father who has lost his beloved son. And from the father who cannot trust his 11 other sons. And what is he saying? وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Allah is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Generally what happens? When we are inflicted with some hardship, the first thing that we begin to doubt is Allah's mercy. The first thing that we doubt is Allah's help. That what happened over here? We never saw such diseases before. What happened over here? How come my life has been changed like this? What sin did I commit? Why is Allah doing this to me? And look at what Yaqub alayhi salam is saying. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. And this teaches us that any time we sense fear for our belongings, for our loved ones, then leave them in Allah's protection. You know, this is something very natural. Things that we love, we want to protect them. People that we love, we want that they should be safe. Children, husband, whoever, because there's so many dangers. I mean, you get out of the house and there are so many dangers. So many. Even within the house, there could be so many dangers. Even when your child is with you, in your own hands, that child could suffer. Isn't it so? I mean, sometimes a mother makes a mistake in that she gives to her child food that the child is allergic to. She gives it by accident. So our children, our possessions, our loved ones are not necessarily safe when they are with us under our eyes. When are they safe? When Allah is protecting them. When Allah is preserving them. So always remember, Allah's protection is the best protection. So anything that you feel afraid for, leave it in Allah's protection. Because sometimes you can't even do much to protect what you love or those you love. They're in a different country. Or your child is in the school. You don't know what your child is listening to, who he's sitting with, what he's learning about. You can't. Even if you try to go in the classroom, you won't be allowed. Isn't it? You're not allowed over there. You're told to sit outside. You're told to wait outside the school. So whenever these anxieties, these fears come in, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا When the Prophet ﷺ would see someone off, right, when someone would be traveling, and he would see them off, again, he would make dua for them, leaving them in Allah's protection. أَسْتَوْدِعُ اللَّهَ That I leave you in Allah's protection, the one whom, الَّذِي لَا تَضِيعُ وَدَائِعَهُ Or أَسْتَوْدِعُ اللَّهَ دِينَكُمْ وَأَمَانَتَكُمْ وَخَوَاتِيمَ عَمَلَكُمْ The traveler and the one who's staying, they both exchange these du'as. So the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he was separating from someone, one is going and he is staying, or he is going and they're staying, so he would leave his family, his loved ones in Allah's protection. And when they open their baggage, so basically this conversation didn't lead anywhere, the father did not allow. So when they opened up their baggage, they found their merchandise returned to them. They said, "Oh, our father, what more could we desire? This is our merchandise returned to us. And we will obtain supplies for our family and protect our brother and obtain an increase of a camel's load. That is an easy measurement."